1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
Santana Dotson is brought to you by DJ's Transmissions with over 40 years of serving Milwaukee. One of the best warranties on complete transmission repairs. It's DJ's Transmissions, and by Windows Select for your chance to win a signed Santana jersey. Visit WindowsSelect.com. 7:58. Now let's reach down south. A little warmer. You in any danger of getting any hurricanes in the near future, Santana?
So we got old tropical storm Beta sitting in the Gulf.
Yeah.
It's on its way in the next 12, 24 hours. So it's raining. It's raining.
That's still just a tropical storm, though. What is it trending? What is Beta doing?
Yeah, it's breaking up because it's pretty, you know, you got to have a lot of humidity in the air. And this time of year, it's pretty dry, finally. So that kind of breaks those storms up. So what they're saying is it'll be about 45 miles an hour and bring a lot of rain and water with it. But that's 45 miles an hour is a lot better than 120 miles an hour. That's what they got in Louisiana about 10 days ago.
So your spidey senses are up, but they're not on alert at the moment.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay. Right. Strong winds, but it won't sound like a freight train when it comes through.
Well, it was a beautiful fall afternoon in Green Bay yesterday.
Lovely. It was lovely. Lovely day.
Yeah. Even if you weren't playing football, it was great weather. But then you throw a Packer-Lion game in there. And I'll be honest, when people were talking about the Lions, I would say, you know, I'm nervous about the Lions. Really put me on edge. And then when they jump out 14-3, that's
gets even edgier.
That doesn't help my anxiety level.
I was still on edge when we were 20 points up.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
20 points up, you were still on edge?
Wait, 20 points up, what, in the third quarter?
Well, it was a 21-point win, so That was as big as it got.
Can the Packers hold on to this lead? And right away, the Lions scored, you know, taking it back to 14 or...
Yeah, it was 34-21. Yeah. So...
Yeah, well, they definitely were on a mission, and they played well early, but they were unable to sustain it for 60 minutes. So, you know, and then you do get... The concern you had, or I had, is, you know, can you call a home game really a home game with no fans in the stands? So the energy that comes with the fans cheering and, you know, to be able to overcome a 14-point deficit and things like that is not there. So that does become a concern. But I felt like, you know, we had enough capability, enough, you know, players to come out with that win yesterday, even though we were down early.
Let's examine what a home game is now. You're staying at your house, right? The night before the game? You're sleeping in your bed? Yes or no?
That's a good question. I don't know what they decided to do this year because of Corona, but typically you're staying in a hotel the night before the game.
So that's not an advantage. Both teams are in a hotel the night before the game, right?
Right.
Maybe the travel takes a little bit out of you, does it? I don't know. You've done the traveling.
Yeah, the only difference would probably be the locker room. Typically, you're visiting teams' locker room is terrible, and you know,
really?
the home team's locker room is like a day at the spa, if you can imagine it. You know, with whirlpools and water, sparkling water everywhere.
Gee, Santana, even with all the upgraded stadiums and the fancy places like Jerry World and this new place in Los Angeles, are the visiting locker rooms really terrible?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Definitely. With the remnants of a dungeon. You think you're in a dungeon. Everything's dark, typically.
Wait a minute here, Santana. The Super Bowl is always a neutral site, or they try and make it a neutral site, right? And Jerry World has hosted the Super Bowl. So you mean to tell me the team that got the Cowboys locker room had a really nice locker room, and the other team representing conference it is, AFC, NFC, had a really crappy locker room? They have to both be premier locker rooms, don't they, to accommodate
That is a great question. That is an awesome question. Now, what happens is, the answer to your question is no, but they typically have more than two locker rooms in the stadium, or Jerry's World or something like that. So, you know, you probably have the Cowboys locker room and then another locker room that might not be as fancy but spacious and has a lot more room. Typically, that's not the locker room you'll get when the Cowboys play the Packers, for instance. That Packer locker room will be another separate locker room that doesn't look like that at all. It's more of a box and a shell.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Completely different.
Have you been to the visitors' locker room? Well, you must have been in the latest version of Lambeau Field.
Yeah. It's better than the Lambeau Field before the remodeling happened, but still not as good. If you ever notice, like, good, when the visiting team comes out now, it's a small little tunnel that they come out of, so they can't even go two by two to come out to enter the field, which is great. I think that's awesome, you know. So they, you know, they can't charge out like, yeah, let's go. They got kind of throw out one by one. I love it. If you ever notice it, when you really watch the opponents come out in Lambeau Field, it's like they're squeezing out like kind of a cork coming out of a wine bottle.
Like, you got to kind of turn your shoulders.
Wow, what psychological warfare expert was in on the design of these stadiums?
I'll tell you this, Santana. The fire marshal, I'm sure, had to inspect it to make sure that it was a proper size for egress in case there's ever a fire down that way, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm sure he had to check it out, and just enough to get out in case of fire.
I know we are so far ahead of ourselves here, but we'll get back to the Packer Lion game in a second. We're talking Super Bowl talk here, not Packers in the Super Bowl, just accommodations for teams at the Super Bowl. Okay, so when the playoffs start, the NFL jumps in and they run the stadium, right? I mean, they have their grounds crew there, all that stuff. They go to the stadium where the Super Bowl is going to take place months ahead of time, and they're overseeing everything, correct?
Very true. Yeah.
All right, let's go back and let's say the Super Bowl is at Jerry World and you get the draw for the Cowboys locker room. Let's say you're the Eagles or the football team from Washington now. You're just in the same division, could be the Giants, that win and they get to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Is all that Cowboy stuff, like the carpet on the floor, where I'm sure they have a big star in the middle of the floor and Cowboy helmets and Cowboy, all kinds of Cowboy stuff in there, do they go in and redo that locker room to take that out of there? Because if you're the Giants, you don't want to be looking at all the Cowboy stuff, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So the carpet would stay the same. There's typically a card or a placard over every locker. So you could take Troy Aikman's placard out and replace it with Brett Favre's Super Bowl placard or the nameplate, and you'd be fine. So what would happen with the carpet is they typically will put something over it. So whenever the Packer administration or the
throw
Super Bowl
rug
administration would come in, they would probably put a plastic wrap on top of the floor or something like that you wouldn't see that star in the middle.
Okay. All right. Let's get to yesterday's game.
Okay.
What? You're down 14-0. That's not good. Our defense got off to a slow start, wouldn't you say?
And the offense looked listless to start with.
They scored three, and they scored seven. Two possessions, they put 10 up.
Well, three.
That's not
three.
Okay, I know. This is why
you don't win Super Bowls by being satisfied with an opening drive of three.
But this is why people hate Packer fans. You won 41,
hated
42,
for a lot of other reasons.
42-21. You scored 3 and 7 on your first two drives, and you're still not happy.
The impartial announcers of the game were saying they looked slow beginning.
No, Greg Jennings isn't impartial. He hates Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so there you go.
Am I right, Santana?
He hates Aaron. He hates Aaron. No, I mean, they definitely started out slow. You know, watching the defense was hard to watch the defense early in the game, especially particularly with one of our top defensive linemen out, you know. But they definitely started slow. However, once they got rolling, they're really rolling. And remember, we're talking about team that really hadn't had a lot of preseason, hadn't had a lot of work, hadn't had a lot of OTAs. So you can kind of tell that they're learning each other, not so much the system, because this is second-year head coach and Aaron's doing all that stuff fine, meaning Aaron Rodgers, but just learning each other as they go. But they definitely, once they started rolling, you know, it's hard to complain about an offense that put up 40 points 2 weeks in a row against NFL caliber team defenses.
Did you see any adjustments that they made on defense, or did they just play better?
I think they just played better. They were getting on and off blocks. You know, a lot of times on defense, it's will and want to more so than expertise and technique. So I think once they kind of got their jaw set, they started making more plays and were more aggressive defensively, if that makes sense, as far as the Packers are concerned. And then offense, sustaining drives. And when you start, Detroit wanted to run the ball. And once you got up, like you talked about, two scores, three scores, then to be able to completely take that running game out of Detroit's offense, then that really helped our defense on Sunday.
We had a pick six. It was the last time the defense pulled one of those off.
I mean, that looked outstanding. And, you know, I mean, we talked about Aaron Jones a little bit at the end of the season last year and last week. But, you know, I think we've got an outstanding bevy of running backs. But Aaron Jones is definitely special. He kind of reminds me. I'm watching him yesterday. I'm like, who does – you know, you always want to remind yourself of what type of running back he is or who he reminds you of. And finally it hit me. When you have 200 all-purpose yards at the running back position, he kind of reminds me of a guy by the name of Thurman Thomas, if you guys remember
him. Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, Thurman Thomas ended up being a Hall of Famer. But somebody that you can line up anywhere in your offense and has breakaway speed.
Not that
he catches the ball or run the ball. So, you know, for him to have 200 yards, and when he gets out in the open, he's very hard to catch. That's a task for defense.
Not that they look anything alike, Aaron Jones and the back I'm going to mention here, but just for all purpose yards, I was thinking Amon Green. He could catch the ball out of the backfield, or he could just break through and outrun everybody to the end zone. Because he was the guy, when I would watch Eddie Lacy, and I would watch Eddie get caught from behind.
I thought of Eddie yesterday.
Every single time. I thought, this never happened to Amon Green. When he got by the defensive line, it was a foot race, and rarely did he get caught when he was racing down the field. Plus, he was so dangerous out of the backfield, and I don't know if we've had a back like that since him, have we?
Yeah, I definitely think, and as far as a Packer uniform, you are exactly right, Amon Green, because he had that breakaway speed. He came from a track background, so once he got in the open, he was very hard to catch. I mean, I saw Amon a couple of months ago, and he still looks like he can jump out and run the 100.
Isn't he? What's he? He was coaching.
What does Amon do?
He was coaching.
Yeah, he's doing some group training somewhere in the Wisconsin area. He's coaching kids, training them.
Yeah, I saw him on the news not long ago. But anyway, let's get back to our defense for a second. How impressed should we be by our defense? They gave up 14 quick points to Detroit, and now after seeing Minnesota only score 11 yesterday against the Colts, I'm going to wait before I start going, you know, our defense is pretty good this year, too.
I think our defense has a lot of proving and shoring up to do. Again, after the taste they left in my mouth after the NFC Championship, really, before I just say, hey, defense is ready to go and we got a Super Bowl caliber defense, they've got to prove their way. So you're exactly right. I mean, they did enough, but we're talking about Detroit and we're talking about an 0-2 Minnesota Viking team. So we just want them to continuously build throughout the season. And, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So they got a lot of time to get better. But, you know, again, what I'm seeing offensively and what Aaron and the two Aarons are doing on the offensive side of the ball, if they keep that up, we should be there at the end.
The defense had a couple of shutdown plays at the end of the game, but that was when everybody in the world knew all the Lions were going to do was throw.
Yeah.
So.
You're just not impressed by that, huh?
I'm trying to be.
Okay.
Like, okay, so if everyone knew the Lions were going to throw, then the Lions knew the Packers were going to rush, right?
Yeah. I mean, what happens when you can continually score 35, 40 points a game is that your opponent the next coming week says, hey, we got to find a way to manufacture points. We got to make sure we put points on the board. So that would also, in turn, help us defensively. But, you know, the thing is, when you start looking at the San Fran, who they had a lot of injuries yesterday, or the teams that are dominating the NFC and AFC conferences, those are typically heavy run, play-action type teams. So we got to figure out if our defense is good enough to stand up to that.
We have one game to go yet in week two of the NFL. It's the Saints and the Raiders. But I'm still going to ask you this question. With that game not played yet, after 2 weeks of NFL football, almost two complete weeks of NFL football, who is the best team in football right now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. Tough question. There you go. Tough questions here.
If I had, you know, I'm still going to give it to somebody beats them. I'm going to give it to the defending Super Bowl champions. They found a way, and this is how you define it. I don't know if you watched the game yesterday, but they went into overtime against a game everybody assumed or considered that they would win. But it was a tough game because they didn't play well. But they find a way, and championship caliber teams find a way even when they don't play well. So I'm still going to give it to Kansas City till somebody really dominates them and beats them.
How'd you like the Chargers quarterback who got rookie pressed into action?
He definitely looked good, and we were laughing watching him. Did you see him on the sideline? He still has acne. I'm like, that dude needs some Clearasil, and he's out there throwing dimes on an NFL Sunday. I loved it.
That guy was – I'm surprised that he's this good in the NFL, but I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. I thought he was like, he's a nice –
He just got told before the game he was starting,
yeah,
right? That was
yeah.
– yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the fascinating thing because, you know, you say – as a, you know, your coach always says, hey, you guys are a play or a player away from being a starter. You know, always talking to the backups. Make sure you're in your playbook and you know everything you're going on – that's going on. But come on, guys, a rookie?
He
I'm
was
sure
the first.
He had no idea that he was playing. Wasn't even thinking about
He was the first round draft pick, and he had a really good college career at Oregon. He beat the Badgers in his last game at Oregon.
Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Rose Bowl.
Oh,
right.
Very, very talented.
Yeah.
And you can tell why he was a top 10 draft pick. But I can pretty much guarantee he didn't think he'd be playing in week two.
But, yeah, Tyrod Taylor had, what, bruised ribs and couldn't go. Aggravated him in warm-ups.
He ended up going to the hospital, so I hope everything's okay with him and his family. But, yeah, he had bruised ribs the day before, and then he was having trouble breathing on game day or something like that the morning of, and ended up having to go to the hospital. So I hope everything's okay with him.
All right.
And if you're the Falcons – do you fire your coach today after blowing that gigantic lead? What, they have a 17-point lead with a little over 4 minutes to go yesterday, beating the Cowboys?
I don't know if you fire him, but, you know, hey, the door is definitely being unlocked. It's too early in the season, too early in the year to talk about firing coaches, but, you know, it went bad fast. It went bad. It went south real fast for the Falcons.
Well, you don't get the Packers till Sunday night next week, Santana, because they get the Saints.
Oh, they get the Saints.
In New Orleans, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Yeah, two NFC juggernauts, so we'll really see. We'll find out more about our defense this Sunday night, because we know the Saints and Drew Brees have some offense.
No, boy. All right. Thank you.
He's going to leave you with those words.
Yeah.
All right, Santana. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Have a great week. Peace.
Santana Dodson.